The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And Jesus said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when Christ returns, will he find faith on earth?'"
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we invite you into our presence today with words that we might need or want to hear. May the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been caricatured? You ever gone to a carnival or a street fair and intentionally had someone distort your facial features? I have to admit that I personally have never been brave enough. I think I have far too many bad photos of myself, so I don't need a drawing. But I still have a cartoon-like drawing of some friends from college tucked away in a yearbook. And despite their oversized noses and ears and cheeks, everyone looks like themselves. In a goofy, kind of cute, kind of ugly, overblown kind of way, but you can definitely recognize them. The characters in today's parable are somewhat like that. First, we've got a widow who is so eager for justice to be served that she keeps approaching a particular judge for help. And we're not talking once or twice, but over and over and over again, without having received anything in the way of hope or encouragement from him whatsoever. Some might call her clueless, some a pest, or even a nag. We'll call her persistent. And then there's this judge. He has refused the widow as many times as she has pleaded for his assistance, and he has tried his best to ignore her. And why wouldn't he? By his own admission, he has no fear of God, no respect for human beings. No fear of God and no respect for human beings. Now, that's quite a disclosure, isn't it? Can you imagine realizing that about yourself or saying that about yourself? More or less, it adds up to no conscience, no empathy, no compassion. So what is there to motivate him to act on someone else's behalf? Probably just self-interest. And sure enough, when the justice finally metes out some justice for this woman, he brazenly admits that he's done it quite simply so that she'll stop bothering him once and for all. The NRSV translation says he wants her to quit before she wears him out. But the original Greek is significantly stronger, using a term associated with boxing. Upo piazzo. Basically, the judge wants the widow to stop coming around before she gives him a black eye. A bruise right there on his face for all the world to see. a bruised reputation for all the world to see. It would be embarrassing and inconvenient, to say the least. When I first moved to New York, there was a blind panhandler I saw quite frequently on my subway line. I would guess that he took in more money than most of the other beggars I saw on the train. What was his secret? He sang for his captive commuter audience. This tone-deaf man would park himself in the middle of the car and sing his lungs out. On and on and on, until the riders could take no more, and he began to hear the shower of coins into his metal pail. He was paid handsomely in spare change, not to deliver an encore, but to go away and be silent. Within the context of this parable, the widow was every bit as bold, and even bolder. In her time and place, men alone could play a public role and speak on their own behalf. Much like women in Taliban-era Afghanistan, women in Jesus' day could not testify in court or appear in public. They were not allowed to talk to strangers and had to be doubly veiled when leaving their homes. So much worse for the widows. Widowhood was perceived by some to be a disgrace, a judgment against the deceased that then extended to the remaining widow. She could not inherit his possessions and could only remarry if she had a brother-in-law who was so inclined. It may come as no surprise, then, that the Hebrew word for widow literally translates as silent one, or one unable to speak. In finding her voice and daring to speak up for herself, this parable silent one acted well outside the cultural norm, and maybe even the possible for her day. Eventually getting what she'd been entitled to all along, justice. In the end, her persistence paid off. Wonderful news, yes. But here is where the parable gets really disturbing. As Jesus, the narrator, steps back in to do a little interpretation. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to God's chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will God delay in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. Jesus uses a rhetorical technique called an a fortiori argument to compare a lesser thing, a corrupt judge, to a greater thing, God. Well, clearly, God comes out on top of this argument, mentioning God and an unjust judge in a single breath or analogy is not exactly reassuring. Why would Jesus even equate a loving God with a fictional human being so heartless and self-serving? Consider the context. The Gospel of Luke was written about half a century after Jesus' death, at a time when Christians were being actively persecuted for their fledgling faith. They were following in Jesus' footsteps and dying horrific criminals' deaths. Not only that, but 40 to 60 years out, they were beginning to realize that their wait would be significantly longer than originally anticipated, their wait for Jesus' return to earth. Suffering mightily, they were in need of comfort and hope. They needed to know that their efforts and their faith were not in vain. In weaker moments, it may have felt like God was playing cruel games, stringing them along or abandoning them altogether to corruption and injustice. Although our lives are not in quite the same danger as those early Christians, we may find ourselves relating to their plight on different levels. On one level, as progressive Christians, it's hard for us to move forward, let alone hold our ground, in a time when intolerance is more and more outspoken and tolerated. When people are less reluctant to spew the exaggerated, ugly language of hate and violence in response to differences they deeply fear. Verbally assaulting Muslims, the gay community, and illegal immigrants. As a church in a denomination of extravagant welcome, we may feel out of step, like a marginalized few in our own community. We may feel a little bit unsafe about that affiliation and wonder whether things will ever be different, whether we will fit into a comfortable majority, whether Jesus and the radical hospitality and justice he taught and lived will ever break through and come again to our increasingly polarized world. On another level, our personal lives too may give us reason to despair. For some of us, there has been too much disappointment or loss. For others, far too much illness or pain. For still others, there has been an excess of turmoil. And for most of us, there is always too much to do and not enough time to do it in, and no light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever the reason, we too could use a little comfort and hope. Well, Jesus tells us that unlike the unjust judge, God will not delay in attending to our needs. And yet, as time passes and our situations persist, that promise might not feel like it corresponds to lived reality. We may grow restless and begin to give up hope. But as with the parable itself, we may be missing the point. Yes, as Luke kindly points out at the beginning of the story, Jesus is advocating a life of persistent prayer and undying hope. But perhaps the hope lives within the prayer itself. Maybe, like so much of life, it's about the process and the relationships we build in the process. About how we are shaped for long-term hope by regular, meaningful interactions with our Creator. About God making God's self available to us no matter where we are at or what we're going through, and being particularly present when we are suffering pain or persecution. Some say God actually has a preference for the most vulnerable among us. And this idea is certainly supported by Jesus' earthly ministry to the weak, the ill, and the disenfranchised, as well as by the Old Testament stances, including this from Deuteronomy. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the stranger, providing them food and clothing. This God sounds nothing at all like the parable's unjust judge. Quite the opposite, in fact. How might this scripture inform the parable, knowing as we do how well-versed in Hebrew scripture Jesus was? Could it be that the parable is, in fact, upside down? Perhaps the widow is actually a reflection of an ever-faithful, compassionate God in a topsy-turvy funhouse mirror. And the unjust judge is a grossly exaggerated version of ourselves and of all humanity. If so, we would do well to follow the widow's example and continue to pray and to act relentlessly, not only on behalf of ourselves, but for the justice and healing of all, especially the most vulnerable. Secure in the fact that one day, when we least expect or have reason to expect it, justice will be served. Confident in the knowledge that our God is outrageously faithful, but works within the constraints of our earthly realities and human hearts. Not forcing God's will upon us, but patiently nudging and waiting until the moment is right. Every day, we are living into that moment. Indeed, God's kingdom of everlasting life and wholeness is both among us and still unfolding in the fullness of time. May we be ready and waiting persistently. And may we be found mirroring back to God the outrageous faithfulness God has shown to us. May it be so. Amen.